There's a tshuva, the long tshuva about the possibility of making an Erev Manhattan. So one section of that tshuva runs as follows. It quotes Rashi and Erevin in the Nun. Rashi explains what the Gemara says as follows. Let's say the tunnels of the train system that are under the ground in Manhattan. So they probably have the din of a Rishus HaYochid Menater. Rishus HaYochid is, you have a Mokum Dalar Adalat Tfachim, you have way more than Dalar Adalat Tfachim, the train in the tunnels. You have walls 10 Tfachim tall, you have more than 10 Tfachim tall. The other shayla is, it's Lai Hukaf Ledira. There is a din mid Rabbanon that if you have Yoisim at Beis HaSayim, if you have a Beis Soa is 50 by 50 Amas. Beis HaSayim is 50 by 100 Amas. That was the size of the Mishkan in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. So if you have an area that's 50 by 100 or smaller, even if nobody lives there, it's a Rishus HaYochid Min HaTorah Mid Rabbanon, no problem. So if you have an area that's Yoisim at Beis HaSayim, and nobody lives there, and you makpid that no one should walk over there, that has a Min HaTorah has a din of Rishus HaYochid also, nothing changed. With the Rabbanon, we call it a karpif. And we throw on the chumis of the karmelites. That's why in Eretz Yisrael, on the former kibbutzim, where they have an erev, everyone should be allowed to carry. So they can't make an erev on the whole kibbutz, because they have areas where they have things growing there, and they're makman, nobody should walk over there. So since the areas where no one is allowed to walk, they're makman, they shouldn't ruin the peris that are growing. Is yosin and beis asayim. So that has the status of a karpus for the Rabbanon. So instead of making one Erev around the whole kibbutz, they make 15 Eruvin. Each Erev is smaller than Beis HaSayim.
Is that a measure of length of area or of length by width? Is a mile long and an inch wide considered Beis HaSayim?
I think it is, yeah. It's the square. You don't have to be able to inscribe an area of Beis HaSayim. It means if that's the square areas that you have, then yes, so in the basis.
Like like
correct, correct, yeah. So the so the Mishnah Brura raises the question: what if you have a building that's for storage purposes, a magazin, in Yiddish she calls it. Nobody lives there, nobody sleeps there, nobody eats there. They just store things there. And it's gigantic. You're going to say that has a din of a karpif, or does it have a din of a Rishus HaYochid? What's the question? He raises a possibility. Maybe the din of karpif only applies if it doesn't have a roof. But if it has hekif mechitzis and has a roof, like on the kibbutzim, you have an erev all around, but you don't have any roof on top. If you have a roof on top, he thinks a svar, an original svar, that it doesn't have the chumra of a karpif. They didn't impose the chumra of a karpif in the Rabbanon. It retains the status of a Rishus HaYochid min HaTorah mid Rabbanon. So the question is, maybe the subways below the ground should all have a din of Rishus HaYochid. Maybe, even though it's Yosem HaBeis HaSayim, Lo Hukav Ledira, nobody lives there. Maybe not a lot of people in there. But years ago, nobody lived there. So maybe it has the din of a Rishus HaYochid, even with the Rabban, maybe it doesn't have a din of a Karpa. Okay, but at least Min HaTorah should have the din of Rishus HaYochid. So let's go one step further. We have a rule that a Rishus HaYochid is Oyla Adler Akiyah. Because based on the principle of good asik mechitzah, whenever you have mechitzah, so we visualize as if you stretch. Good means to stretch. You visualize, you imagine as if you stretch the mechitzah all the way up. So why not say that not only the tunnel below the ground where the train system is, the tunnels have a din of Rishus HaYochid, if you know the path of the train, it's not so difficult to figure it out in Manhattan, so you should be allowed to carry on the ground level above the tunnel in Manhattan because the mechitza is Zayla Adlerakia. Rav Moshe Feinstein quotes a Rashi. Rashi's interpreting the Gemara like that, Pashim Shan the Gemara, that you don't say good asik mechitza from below the ground level to above the ground level. The mechitzas are only good for below the ground, they're no good for above the ground. So now Rav Moshe has a suffix. What if you have mechitzas above the ground, but then you have a new ground level above that? Let's say now in modern America, in modern cities, they have the ground, then they have a highway that goes over it, then they have another highway that goes over that, then they have a third highway that goes over that. So let's say if you have mechitzas, the Moshe specifically is talking about Manhattan. So let's say Manhattan, if it would have been a beach, and the edge of the island goes into the rivers like a beach, so you have no mechitzas. But the edge of the island was built up, Amsterdam wasn't all built up, but most of it was built up with concrete and with stones, and with bricks and so on, so it shouldn't the building shouldn't collapse. So those mechitzas go straight. So let's say, for argument's sake, it's not so. For argument's sake, the whole edge of Manhattan would be built up. So the whole Manhattan would be a din of a Rishus HaYochid. Rav Moshe discusses the Ramban that we spoke about. Is it too big? If the area is too big, maybe even if the mechitza nasa b'dayodim is no good, so much that it's not too big. Sure. Explain, not too big. So let's say, for argument's sake, the whole of Manhattan would be a rishus hayochid. So what would you say about the George Washington Bridge? That the George Washington Bridge starts about 5 blocks from the before the edge of the island. Years ago, when you had an island or when you had a cliff, when the city came to an edge, there was a cliff, so they would make a bridge. The bridge would begin where the cliff is. What do you need a bridge before the cliff? They would start making a bridge when the cliff comes to an end. When the island comes to an end, they make a bridge. Now, all the bridges in New York City begin a few blocks before the edge of the island. So the shaila is that edge of the island over here in Manhattan on this side, if that would be built up as a mechitza, and that's makif the whole Manhattan, would you say good asik mechitza, that it serves as a mechitza for the ground level of the George Washington Bridge? Or do you say no, that's a different ground level? Just like below the ground, mechitza below the ground level is no good for above the ground level, maybe mechitzas above the ground level are no good for an upper level, or mechitzas on an upper level are no good for an upper level. If you have another highway going on top of that highway, is no good. So Moshe is makel on this. He says no, only mechitzas below the ground level are not good for above, but whatever is above the ground level is good for an upper level as well. And he proceeds to make a whole suggestion why. First he builds up the case that the area of Manhattan should be acceptable, and then he knocks it down for various reasons. The Chazon Ish writes not like Rav Moshe. The Chazon Ish has a Gemara with a Tosis in the beginning of Perek called Gagos, and he shows that it's not so, that a mechitza above the ground level does not go above, does not oila adler akia if there's another ground level above. And in fact, the Gemara has on the first daf in Kol Gagos, if you look at the buildings across the street, so sometimes you have a building that comes to a top like this, sometimes you have a building that has a roof that protrudes on the side. So the Gemara says, the mechitza is oila adler akia if it's a building that goes like this. But if the roof sticks out on the side, if it protrudes, then this is considered a new ground level, and you don't say good asig mechitza. This mechitza is not oila adler akia. Just as a diun in Tosfos in the Chazon Ish, how much does it have to protrude? If it protrudes an inch, Tokshani, so that already hacks up, and you can't say good asig mechitza. The Tosfos says it has to protrude 4 tfachim. 4 tfachim is the shiur makom. The Chazon Ish dreitzach, maybe 3 tfachim, maybe it should be a shiur lovud, maybe 2 tfachim, half of the shiur makom. He's not sure exactly how much it has to protrude. He's not so sure that we should accept the statement that Tosfos says that it's only if the roof protrudes, the roof is bolet, 4 tfachim or more. But the principle in the Gemara is that just like you don't say good asik mechitza from below the ground level to above, for dinam, you wouldn't say good asik mechitza even if the mechitza are above the ground level to an upper level. The mechitzas always have to be mitzuref to your ground level. Let's imagine this is North America, this is South America. I think that's called the Isthmus of Panama or something that separates between them. So let's say, for argument's sake, it's very narrow. Probably not so narrow. But let's say you'll have 3 mechitzas here and 3 mechitzas here, and the gap over here would be less than 10 amos. Probably much more than 10 amos. Let's say, for argument's sake, this would be less than 10 amos. So when you say that this constitutes one big happy mishus ayachid, the Pashto says you can't be mitzaref mechitzas from one continent with mechitzas from another continent. It has to be, the mechitzas have to be mitzaref to the same continent. So the Pashto says even if all the mechitzas, even though this is Oymid Murubal Afar, you have 1,000 amas standing here, 1,000 amas here, it's only 9 amas in between. Oymid Murubal Afar, and the Pirtz of Pachas Meser, but there's one major problem, it's 2 different continents. How can you combine together and make a Rishus Ayah from 2 different continents? So the Pashto says even if it's, let's say, on the same continent, but some of the mechitzas are on one ground level, some of the mechitzas are on another ground level. Let's say you have mechitzas, you have 2 mechitzas on the ground, and all of a sudden there's a mountain, sudden drop in a mountain, and there's an elevation over here, a plateau over there, then the rest of the mechitzas are going to go up on top over there. So the Pashto says you can't be mitzaref if this is a sudden drop in the mountain. That's 10 tfachim or more, so that constitutes a different ground level. So I can be mitzarf mechitzas from one ground level to another ground level. It's the same as being mitzarf mechitzas in 2 different continents.
But there's an area between those two where there are stairs or ways to travel. The whole area is muka, and people inside, the area inside is totally enclosed. So then what technical problem is there with that air roof?
That is an important question. That's the last Maramochim in this third section. This does come up. Sometimes this shaila does come up. Let's say I have, I'm making an Erev, and then I have a Mechitza that's 5 Tochim Tol. 5 Tochim Tol is not enough. But then the ground goes level, and then I have another 5 Tochim Tol over here. So the Maisa, the area inside, is Mukaf. You can't leave it, you can't leave the area without crossing over these this Hekif of 10 Tochim. The area is Mukaf Mechitzas. But you don't have a Heft of Mechitza unless the two, the 5 Tochim and 5 Tochim, between three Tochim to each other. If they're Lovot, then it's considered as if there's Emshav. Let's say it's not Lovot. There's a 5 Tochim in between them, so you can't say Lovot. So the Mishnah Brura is not sure what the din is about that. It's a discussion in Taisis. So in between the lines in Taisis, if you read it, the Chazanish keeps on debating back and forth, he's not sure how to paskin on that case.
So in this case, you couldn't feel so, in case you drew on the board. All the Mechitzas are wonderful. And if people can travel between the two, and it's one area because when people use it, why does it matter that we call this a continent? So it's different continents. Why does Halacha care about continents? It cares about areas people use, and that this area, this area is Muka, it's Muka.
Well, let's say there's a major drop. You can't walk across here.
So the
ground level is all the way down below. Salty Din is a different ground level.
But there was a bridge that connected the two?
A bridge. So at the point of the bridge, you can make an error. But let's say if the bridge would be in the middle.
Right.
Okay? So then you can make an error, connect these two. But you can't say that since this is only 9 Amos, so these two Amos start. So you can't have the Mechitza has to be on top of a ground level. If there's no ground level, this are two different ground levels. I think so.
There's also no mechitza within no ground level. The problem is, it's a theoretical mechitza, so put a theoretical ground in.
No, it's not a theoretical mechitza. You have oymen b'mu balaparu, it's
I'm saying... I'm saying the place where there's not... I'm saying the place of the actual pirsa.
Yeah.
There's a theoretical mechitza there. There is not an actual wall. There's a theoretical wall. So there's a theoretical ground also.
But why is there a theoretical... No, ruba kukula is a rule that I consider it kisosum. Ruba Kukula is a din. Let's say I want to plant grapes over here, and I want to plant pitum over here. And there's an issue of kilayim, so you have to have archoket. But if you put a fence in between, so you don't have to have any archoket, or you can plant the grapes up into the fence and chitum up into the fence. So what if the fence goes like this? There's 1,000 amas over here, 1,000 amas over here, and then 9 amas gap over here. So the Mishnah say that's okay. That I make Maruba la parts and Pirtz's pachas miyasa. If the Pirtz would be yes and miyasa, so it's no good. So here you can plant grapes and here chitim, and here you get. But if the Pirtz is yet eser or less, then I consider it kisosim.
Well, suppose you close it with actual brick, and you had an archer supporting it or something over the ocean.
I think it would also not be acceptable. Because it's a totally different ground level. The ground level is all the way below the bottom
and
of the ocean.
And if it's not the actual ocean, you can't carry it. But you have one area that you can carry on the land in.
I would assume that not. It doesn't say Beferish anywhere, but I would assume that not. I would assume that the Mechitza, from the beginning to the end, the real part with the imaginary part, based on Ruba Kukula, everything has to be on top of the same ground level. So there, the ground level is all the way below. It's the bottom of the ocean. I would assume that it's not accepted.
What sort of Moshe Sparrow
between below ground level and ground level? I don't know. The Pashto says that, Chazanish points out, the Pashto says that it's against the whole sugi in the first daf in Kol Gadlis, that it's not accepted. The only time there's a Machlekes Rabbi Shmuel is like this. The Shlomo HaMelech made a takone that even though Minatora or Rishus HaYochid is all the same, if you have two homes that are adjacent to each other, attached homes, and Reuven's family lives here, Shimon's family lives here, so Shlomo HaMelech made a takona that you're not allowed to carry from Beis Shel Reuven to Beis Shel Shimon unless they make an Erev Echatzeres. So either Shimon puts a matzah in Reuven's home, or Reuven puts a matzah in Shimon's home, and that's good enough. So the shaila is, what happens if you have homes that are attached and nobody's there for Shabbos? Everybody's away in the country. No one's there for Shabbos. And the Mishnah says, no one's there, so nobody asks. It's only called Beis Shel Reuven and Beis Shel Shimon if they're actually there this Shabbos. If they're non-observant Jews, or they're not Jewish at all, so just because they're away in New Jersey Friday night, they may come back in the middle of Shabbos, but if they're religious Jews, the Mishnah says they're not going to come back in the middle of Shabbos, so they don't ask her, so they don't ask her, there's no problem. So the... what was I trying to explain? I forgot where I left off. What was your question again? So there is a machlokes in the Mishnah, in the first Mishnah called Gagoyes. If nobody lives in the home, so then the Chumrah of Shlomo HaMelech doesn't apply. What if people live in the home, but nobody lives on the rooftops? But they can go from their apartment, there is a stairway to go up to the roof. So do you say, Kishem Shadiurim Chalukim Lamata Kaf Nirim Chalukim Lamailo? Downstairs, this is called Beis Shiruv, and that's called Beis Shel Shimon. So even upstairs on top of the roof, even though nobody lives on top of the roof, this is called Beis Shiruv and Beis Shel Shimon. So not allowed to carry from one rooftop to the other unless they made an Erev. What do you say? No, the Lamai said nobody lives on the rooftop. That's how we pass. We pass like Reb Shimon. That all of the Kolagagos, if you have, let's say, a playground, that's Mukav Mechitzes, nobody lives in the playground. If you have Chatzeris, when nobody lives, Kolachatzeris and Kolagagos, and Kolakarpifus, all of these things, everything is Vishusachas L'Shabbos, so you can carry from one end of the city to the other. Let's say I can throw a ball from this building rooftop to that building rooftop to the next building rooftop. I can transport it all the way till Brooklyn. As long as I don't go on the ground, as long as I don't, because the top of the roof is all Rishusayachid, then it's not a problem. Unless the top of the roof is going to be like this, then it's not a Rishusayachid, if it protrudes. Okay. So the Gemara has a machlekes Rabbi Shmuel on the assumption that you're not allowed to carry from Beis Shoruvin to Beis Shoshim and even from the rooftops. So the Gemara has a shaila. What if you have, this is Reuven's rooftop, this is Shimon's rooftop. So you're not allowed to carry from here to here. We pass them that it is mutter, but on the assumption, like the other sheep, that you're not allowed to carry. So what if you would have a fence that would separate between Reuven's rooftop and Shimon's rooftop? So Reuven can carry on his rooftop, Shimon can carry on his. What if you have no fence separating, so you shouldn't even be allowed to carry more than Dalai Lama's on either of the rooftops? That's what we call Nifritz L'mokam Ha'osolo. Even though the Mokam is Mukav Mechitzes, but you're not allowed to carry there because you may forget and carry into the area where you're not allowed to carry, because there's no Mechitzes separating in between. That's the problem that Rav Moshe discusses, others discuss. Let's say you make an Erev around Manhattan, all of the edge of the island serves as a Mechitza, but then you can... So you can carry, let's say, in all of Manhattan, but then you can easily walk out of the air without crossing a mechitza. You just walk on the George Washington Bridge. There's no mechitza on the bridge that separates. No tzuras ha-pesach. So that's why Moshe says that there is. He says the edge of the island, the zoyla ad-rakia, salpidin, it serves as a mechitza directly above the edge of the island, on top of George Washington Bridge. That's considered the mechitza there. It is zoyla ad-rakia. So the Gemara has this discussion. That there is a din of nifrat l'mokam osolo. If there's no fence separating between Reuven's rooftop and Shimon's rooftop, so Reuven is not even allowed to carry in his house. Yeah, but there is a wall separating between Reuven's house and Shimon's house. But when you come to the roof, it's all flat. It's all level over there. There's nothing sticking up. So the Gemara has a machlekes Rabbi Shmuel. Maybe I should say good asik mechitzte. The mechitza below that separates between Reuven's home and Shimon's home is zayla adlaraki, even on the rooftop. If you would have had a rooftop that protrudes like this, you wouldn't say Oyla Lerakia. That's the Gemara. Protrudes four tefachim. What about over here? That the roof is one roof between the two with no fence in between. So that's Machlekes Rabbi Shmuel. Maybe I should say Good Asik Mechitzta from the lower level to the upper level. So Taisus says, and that's what the Chazon Ish points out. Taisus says because the whole topic that you're discussing over here is a fine point, a chumer midrabbanan, nifritz l'mokam osolo. Basically, everything is fine. It's ushus hayochid. You're allowed to carry on this rooftop. Just you're not allowed to carry here if it's nifritz l'mokam osolo. So with respect to that, chumer midrabbanan, nifritz l'mokam osolo, there's a machlekes Rabbi Shmuel. Maybe I would say good asik mechitzte from the lower ground level to the upper level, even though mechitzte shein and ikaris. Even though it's considered as if the gag is bowling. But to really say good asik for a real topic, for a real issue, the same mechitzas haroi lala rakia, from one ground level to the other, the mashmos in the Gemara is that you would not say. Just like below the ground, you don't say to above the ground. It's above the ground, you don't say to an upper level. That's exactly the reason why, if the gag is bolet, you don't say good asik mechitzas. Because that's hacks it up, it's considered a different ground level. So that sometimes comes up halacha l'maisa. Then we mentioned last week the issue of pitikra yor v'saisen. So we said over there are more paskins like Tosis. If you have two walls that are adjacent to each other, we gave the moshe from the from the bus shelter. If you have two walls that are adjacent to each other like a right angle, and then you have a rooftop that goes over it, so we say the edge of that, the pi hatikra, the edge of the tikra, is considered as if it's yerba sosim like this. So Tosfos quotes the Gemara Sukkah, if you have two walls that are parallel to each other, then you don't say good asik mechitzta on the two sides where it's mefulish. Only if you only say good asik mechitzta, you only say pi tikra yerba sosim if the two walls were like this. So right on that, Rashi learns on that Gemara, you only say Pitikri Yerbisayim. The Gemara makes a distinction. Sometimes you apply Pitikri Yerbisayim, sometimes you don't. So Rashi, Tosfos does not agree with Rashi, but in Shulchan Aruch they quote the Chumrah Rashi. Rashi says you only apply Pitikri Yerbisayim if the Tikra is a flat Tikra. Sometimes you have a house that has a roof that goes like this. So since the roof is not level, if the roof is level like this, then roof is like this, and you have a right to say Pitikra Yerbisayim. If you have a house and the roof protrudes on all four sides, you can't say Pitikra Yerbisayim that everything below the rooftop is considered Rishus HaYochid, because the whole thing is mefulish over there. All you have is here. Let's say this is the building, and the roof protrudes on all four sides like this. So are you allowed to carry around the house on the area that's directly below the Tikra? So the din is no, because you only have one wall over here, and the other three walls is saying Pitikra, one, two, three. They're saying Pitikra on three walls. The only wall that you really have over here is the outside side of this one. The same thing on all the four sides. You only have one real wall, then you're saying Pitikra on three walls. So you don't say that. But if you have two, or sometimes the building is a little built in a funny way, so it has an indentation. So you'll have two walls over there, then you have a Tikra over there. So then you will say Pitikra Yerbisayim on the third wall and the fourth wall. So Rashi comments on that Gemara, that if the tikra is like this, that's not called a p tikra, that doesn't count. Tikra has to be a flat tikra.
Can you say good achis from the makkah?
Good achis from the makkah?
Yeah, that has to put up over there on the desk.
Yeah.
That's got a flat roof. People yeah. come up to that roof, there has to be a makkah around it.
Yes.
The makkah has to be tall enough to be its own mechitzah.
Yes.
So can you say good achis from the makkah now?
The Gemara said, we pass, you don't say good aches if it's gedoyim bokimbo. So that's either three tefachim or four tefachim. We pass the three tefachim. So it's not going to help, yeah. In the Mishnah Brura, he writes that sometimes you have a roof that's like this, and then on the bottom they put a flat roof. So then it's okay, then this is a tikra. That's fine, that's a tikra. But it's only a tikra provided that it serves as a shelter over an area that's a minimum of davut tefachim. If the roof, like over here, if the roof only protrudes less than Dalat Tvachim, then by definition it's not called a Tikra. Here it's a Tikra, the house of course has Dalat Tvachim, the house has much more, yeah. The room has much more than Dalat Tvachim. But the only time it's called a Tikra over here is if it's a Tikra above a Makam, and the Makam has to be a minimum of Dalat Tvachim. Tosfos has a Kasha on Rashi, and they say, Mistama Rashi Shita is, you only say they're reconstructing. They're suggesting the Tosfos. They say, Rashi probably holds, you only say Tikra if the Tikra has a minimum thickness of a Tefach. So there are some who are machmer. The machmir, I'm always looking for chumis. In Shulchan Aruch, this is not even quoted. But some want to be choshish for this Tosfos Shita and Rashi, that you only say pi tikra if the tikra is a tefach thing.
What's the tikra? Is a triangle, right? Like in that house you grew over there. And it's two tefachim at the taller, but it's only zero tefachim at the shorter. So it's got an average of one tefach, let's say.
What's it? Yeah. This is a triangle?
Yeah, that's the triangle.
So if this is four tefachim across, then it's called a tikra.
I'm saying it has a minimum height also. No,
you said
something.
No, minimum thickness. Tosfos suggests within Rashi, this tikra over here only has the status of a tikra to say tikra. Yeah. You understand?
My point is, what if a tikra is a triangular beam?
What, this part is triangular?
Yeah, that part is triangular. It's a triangle, like in the picture you drew.
This is not flat, so that's not a tikra. This is the tikra. But this tikra has to be a type of tikra. You say, Damehach, we ignore this. If you have a flat roof over here, so then the Mishnah Berurah says, Rashi will agree that that's okay. That's a flat tikra. Tikra has to be flat. So last week we left off in the middle of Pitikra. So there is a Gemara in Sukkah where the Gemara has the following discussion. Let's say a fellow. This really exists. I remember when years ago, when I first visited Eretz Yisrael, so we stayed in Tzfat for a while. So this really exists. You have an area that's enclosed with houses. Here's one apartment, they rented it out. Here's another apartment, another apartment, another apartment, another apartment. It's an alleyway to go from the outside to the inside. Okay, here's the street is outside. And inside there's a chatzer. Fine. So you have all these apartments around. Then you have a roof. This is a roof. How am I going to distinguish it? This is a roof that just goes over that area of the chatzer. Why? Because in your apartment over here, they have no bathroom. So here they have a bathroom over here. So what are you going to do if it's pouring outside? So you walk under the roof and go to the bathroom. It's built a few hundred years ago.
Okay.
So the shaila is the guy wants to use this for a sukkah. So he wants to put skach in the middle, on top of the chatzer. But he doesn't have any mechitzas. You have to have the tefanos. You can't just put up skach. The skach is going to be resting on this roof that goes, that's right in front of over the bottom. So one of the Amoraim of the Gemara says, no problem. You should say, Pi tikra yerid misoysen. Here you have a tikra. This, the exterior is a tikra. So since you have a right to say, Pi tikra yerid misoysen, we paskin, you wouldn't say Pi tikra here because you have to have two walls at a right angle. Then you say Pi tikra on the third and fourth. So the way we paskin is nothing to discuss. But before you get to that maskana, according to the opinion that you would say Pi tikra in like this, but is this legitimate to say Pi tikra yerid misoysen? So the edge of the tikra, this is the tikra that's going all around, the rooftop that's in front of all of these apartments. So when you have the right to say pitikra yervisaisim, and that yervisaisim will serve as the tfanis of the sukkah, and then you have the sakha in the middle. So everything is fine. So the Gemara says that that's not acceptable because this tikra was intended to serve the area below it. It wasn't intended to serve this area. It doesn't serve anything as far as that area is concerned. It's only a tikra with respect to the area directly below it. It doesn't serve as a tikra for the other area, so therefore you can't say pi tikra yervisos. That's what the Gemara says. So Rav Moshe Feinstein takes from that Gemara the following. Dokan Akuma, very good question. I mean, the front of the building is a doifet, real wall. Here's the front, this is the building, the apartment. The front of the building is mechitza, so this, if the distance here would be less than 4 amos, you would say Dokan Akuma. So your problems would be solved. The case the Gemara has is that the tikra in front of the buildings is more than dalar amos. Correct, I forgot to mention that important point. If the tikra is more than dalar amos, you can't say Dokan Akuma. So then the discussion is, can you say that the edge of the rooftop should serve as a mechitza? The Gemara comes to the conclusion that you can, because the tikra is intended to serve the area below it, that when you walk over here from your apartment to the bathroom, you shouldn't get rained on, it doesn't serve this area. So Moshe says, aha, you see from this Gemara that when it comes to tikra yervisoysim, it's only if the tikra was intended to serve as a tikra for this area. So he says, let's say you have, and you have this in different areas. Let's say you have an area, I think in Flatbush they have this. You have a whole area that goes, let's say, like this, and all of a sudden you have an elevated train that goes like this. The elevator is where? McDonald's or something?
Yeah, McDonald's.
Huh?
McDonald's.
So, and that elevated platform is a tikra. But what did they make? What was the kavana when they made this elevated platform? Not to shelter the people below that they shouldn't get rained on. Over here, the kavana was that you shouldn't get rained on when you're walking on the... Here, the purpose was to hold up the trains on top. So Rav Moshe has it a sefer that you can't say pi tikra over here, because this tikra was made to hold the traffic on top of it. It was never intended to shield, to protect the people below it. So it doesn't have the din of pi tikra over says it, because that's what it says in the Gemara. Truth of the matter. So they all ask Rav Moshe that the Tesis quotes at the sefer where it talks to the Pharisee about pi tikra, about a gesher, about a bridge that goes from one place to the other. All bridges are intended to support the people or the traffic that go on top of them. If the bridges are intended to protect the people who are going to be walking below the bridge, and still the Tosefta talks about the possibility of saying Pitika Yerivasoysim directly below the bridge. What did the Gemara say that you can't say Pitika over here? That's a different word. It's not a Tikra for the Chatzir. It's only a Tikra for the area below it. You say Pitikra, serves as a mechitza for this area. Because it's a tikra on that area. It can't serve as a mechitza for this area. It's not a tikra for that area. So here also, if you want to carry that case to this, that halacha to this case, and say like this. Fine, we're going to say, pitikra you ever said it's man, he elevated. And there's a thesis in the first parak in Shabbos on Daf Tes, the end of the Sugya Paitsoa there, where the Taisa shows from the Gemara that you say Pitikah Yerevah Seisim, even if the Tikah is not solid. You have Lavud, you have one bar, then you have a gap, then you have another bar, so if everything is Lavud to the other thing, and altogether it adds up to Dalat Tvachim, so the area below the Dalat Tvachim, so it's also legitimate, you also have a right to say Pitikah Yerevah Seisim. And let's say if you have an error, then Lat Mishnah goes like this, but you need a Tikah on the Ruach Reviyas, so you could say Pitikah Yerevah Seisim. You couldn't say this side, you couldn't use the near side of the elevated, because this tikra is a tikra for the area directly below the elevated. It's not a tikra for this area. You want this to serve as a mechitza for this area. But you can say, if your erev, you have poles all over the place, you have fences, you have walls, you have poles, whatever. So if you have a pole over here on the near side, and the pole over here on the near side, that's your Tzuras HaPesach, let's say. So there you can pick up and say, Pitikra, the near side, the edge of the elevated that's closest to the area that's enclosed, should be your Tzuras. No, it's not a Tikra for that area. But you can take the far side. If you extend your Erev all the way across the street, and you're going to put a corner here and a corner here, and your Tzuras HaPesach from this area is going to extend all the way to there, Then I'm going to use the far side of the tikra. So the tikra, the elevated, the platform of the elevated, serves as a tikra for the area directly below it. So that's acceptable. So this is a tikra to the area directly below it. So once it's a mechitza for that, and this is an extension of this, so then it's good. Then you can say tikra b'seisim. It doesn't have to be a tikra on the whole flatbush. All it has to be a tikra on the last four tochim that's enclosed in the area that you makif at your mechitza. That would be acceptable. Then we left out, Rabbi Haber pointed out that we left out another example of siluk mechitza that comes up every so often.
Can you use two different kippahs on parallel sides? For example, in that example, let's say there was another train running along the other side.
Which other side?
Over there, yeah. There's another train there. Can you build mechitzas in between them and use those two tikras and say each one individually?
That's what Tessus had in Gemara. You only say two tikras if you have two walls like this, then you say two tikras at least.
You're
just going to have two mechitzas on the ground level like this. You're going to say tikra twice. The fool is that
right.
Kind of
okay, you're really saying you're taking one tikra for two walls. Over there.
Here, one tikra for two walls, good.
Over there, you're taking one tikra for one wall, and then you're taking one tikra for another wall.
No, I don't think that matters. The Gemara says it depends if it's mefulish. If you have two walls that are parallel to each other, then we don't allow the pitikra on those two sides. Even if you have two different tikras, you wouldn't allow pitikra. But if you have two walls that are like this, then you say pitikra on the two missing walls. Yeah, the mashal that we gave about the bus shelter, of course, is only by Medvar Mamurim. If the two plastic walls reach within three tefachim to the ground, if the two plastic walls don't reach within three tefachim to the ground, so you don't even have the two basic mechitzas to begin with, because you don't say good asik if it's you don't say good aches if it's gedoyim bokimbo. That's what he mentioned before. Yes, so Rabbi Haber pointed out that there's another example of siluk mechitzas that we didn't mention last week that does come up. Let's say you have. Let's say I have a bungalow colony where the bungalows are arranged sort of in a circle like this. Okay. And you want to be able to carry over here. Everybody wants to be able to carry over here to carry into each other's homes. So you can put a Tzuras HaPesach here to here. Put a Tzuras HaPesach here to here. Fine. And so on. What if you want to put the Tzuras HaPesach behind the house? So let's say I want to put a pole here, and a pole here, and a Tzuras HaPesach there. So that also good, no problem. What if I want to put a pole over here, and a pole over here, and then the string is going to, if I make, let's say, I'm going to put a pole here, a pole here, a pole here, it says the pencil is going to go from here to here. So that's like no problem. That's okay. So then the Erev is going to go here. You're allowed to carry here. Shusayachin is going to be in such a shape. But if I don't have this, I don't have this, I just put the Kon Al Gabeyim, so would that be acceptable or not? So this is a large group of Achreinim say that that's not acceptable, that the Kone over a Tzuris HaPesach has to be contiguous to the area that's being enclosed. If it's behind the wall over here, how far are you allowed to carry over here? Let's say I make it Tzuris HaPesach. How far am I allowed to carry? I can carry all the way up until here. If I made it Tzuris HaPesach, I can carry all the way up until here. But if I don't have this over here. I put economy con. The Kon Al Gabeyim, a string that goes like this. So you're only allowed to carry up until here. So there's no way for me to carry all the way till there. So this pole over here and this pole over here is not contiguous to the area that's being enclosed. So that's what I finally call a Kona Achuri HaKaisa. If the Kona is in such a way that it's not contiguous to the area that's being enclosed, and they say that's not a valid Tzuris HaPesach, because it's not Kidiyab the Inchi. People wouldn't make like that. They wouldn't make a frame of a door like that. The two, normally, like over here, you have the wall comes to an end, and then you have the frame of the door. The frame of the door takes up another inch on the right side, another inch on the left side. You don't put the frame of the door halfway in the middle of the wall. You put the frame of the door at the edge, and it should be contiguous to the area that's being enclosed. It's all the way in the Ruchak, it's not acceptable. So the Shaila was, why do you say that it's Achuri HaKaisel? And most of the Poskim say it's no good. Chazanish writes that it's no good. Chazanish talks about there's a steer in the Chasam Sofer. The Chasam Sofer became the rabbi. This is a major problem. This is a common problem, Achuri HaKaisel. When the Chasam Sofer became the rabbi in Presburg, so he checked around the Erev. So he asked, who made the Erev like this? It was Achuri HaKaisel. So they told him that the previous rabbi had made it like that. I think it was Rabbi Shulam Igmer, if I'm not mistaken. So he said, Kedaihu, this Machalav Afidu Shloi B'Shas Adchak, it's okay. So then you have a later, all the tshuvas of the Chasam Sofer have dates on them. So you have a later tshuva written a few years later where he says again that it's no good. So the Chasam Ish points out, it's very strange. Originally the Chasam Sofer thought it's no good. Then when he told me, I'm sure Migra did it like that, he said, okay, Kedaihu, this Machalav Afidu Shloi B'Shas Adchak. Then he backed out again a second time. And he changed his mind and decided that it's no good. And it's a Dovya Dua. I remember there used to be a professor here in the yeshiva who taught. He passed away already years ago. I think it's Zalman Alpert's father-in-law, Olam Hashom. So he used to live in Presburg. So he remembered as a child. He doesn't remember the Chasam Sofer. That's over a century ago, 2 centuries ago. But he remembers as a child that they said that the Erev used to be here, and then the Chasam Sofer changed it because of an issue of Achuri HaKaisel. He didn't know what it used to be, but they said that was the issue. So it's clear the Chasam Sofer held that it was no good. So what happened? That he changed his mind twice. First he thought it's no good, then he said it is good, then he said it's no good. So the Pashtus is that he held that it's no good. That's how the Chazanish writes that it's no good. And the Stipler didn't know that the Chazanish said it's no good. He has a whole essay. He quotes the Vilna Gaon, says on his Biran Yerushalmi that it's no good. And he has a Raya Rabbeinu Yohanesen on the Rif said that it's no good. And this one says it's no good. He brings a lot of rights. Then he says, the last paragraph he writes, he finally found his brother-in-law, the Chazanish, also writes that it's no good. Sure, the last line he writes. The many Poskim say that Achuri HaKaisel was no good, and it's a common issue. The question is with the Chasam Sofer, what happened over there? First he thought no good, then he thought it is good. So I thought the Pashut Pshat was different. The first week the rabbi comes into the community, he doesn't have to turn over the whole world. He doesn't have to make everybody crazy. Let's say he's not happy with the kashrus. So he has to make everybody crazy. He has to say, the kashrus is no good, you're not allowed to eat anything. But the previous rabbi held that it's kosher. But I'm the rabbi, I say it now, and I say it's no good. When it comes to the Erev, the halach is whenever there's a machlokes in Erevin, so you have a right to go lekula. I'm the Chasam Sofer. I hold that it's no good. How can I go lekula just because there's always someone who disagrees. So I'm not allowed to go lekula. I hold that it's awesome. My wife and my children have to be machmer because they don't listen to Rabbi Shulam Igra. They're listening to me. But the Balabatim have a right to follow Rabbi Shulam Igra. So when the Chasam Sofer said, who made the Erev? And they said, Rabbi Shulam Igra. So they said, Kedai ulis mechol. You can rely on Rabbi Shulam Igra. Afidu shloi b'shas atchak. Samach loikis. So you have a right to rely on him. After he was there a couple of years already, then he was obligated to change the Erev to fix it, because they can no longer rely on Rav Shlomo Migra. They're not asking Rav Shlomo Migra any questions anymore. He passed away already. And they're asking all the questions to the Chassam Sofer. So now they're obligated to follow all of his sheetahs, all of his psofim. Same in Hilchas Avela. Someone comes and asks a Shal Hilchas Avela. Is it a and I hold Lechumra, and there are many hold Lekula. So I have to tell them Lehokil, because whenever there's a Machloikis, you have to go Lehokil? No. Moshe Feinstein, many times they asked him a Shal Hilchas Avela, said Lehachmer. I bet they knew that there were those who held Lehokil. What happened to the Klal Halokh de Ram Nekel Bavel? That's what one who doesn't have a personal opinion. But if Moshe Feinstein is convinced Lehachmer is Lehachmer, Moshe was Machmer a lot of them in Hilchas Avela that everybody else was Nekel on. If they would ask him, he would say his honest to goodness opinion, Lahachmer. If someone comes, he just wants to know what's the thing. He doesn't always follow Rav Moshe Feinstein. Someone comes to Rav Soloveitchik, it happened many, many times. Someone comes to Rav Soloveitchik, yes, they're Shal and Hilchas Avelos. So Rav Soloveitchik sees this guy is not a Talmud of mine. He doesn't want to know what my personal opinion. He wants to know, is there room to be maker? So Rav Soloveitchik would say, yeah, it's a machlekes, there's room to be maker. If it is a machlekes, as far as you're concerned, there's room to be maker. So that's what the Chassam Sefer did over here with the Yerim. He for help and pashtip from the beginning to the end, he held that Achuri HaKosel is not acceptable because the corner has to be contiguous to the area that's enclosed. But he said the Balabatim, they're not kofuf to me yet. I just moved in. It's the first Shabbos that he came. So Allah Mekel Bob, he said, Kitai Rab Shulam, this mukhalafilashlabshashatis and Abangar. If it would have been some person on a lesser madrege, he would have said he was a toya. He made a mistake. He's not going to say Rav Shulam Migra that he made a mistake. He's entitled to his opinion. But after a while, he felt that he was compelled to fix the error, because they're now the kofuf to all of his psukim. So here the question is, if you have this Achuri HaKosel, which is a common thing, there's another issue on Suras HaTesach Terech Rishus HaYofim. Let's say you have an error that goes around the whole town. You have fences and poles, and so parts of the error are poles and springs on top. And then let's say some guy has a house over here, and this is his front lawn, and the front lawn has a mechitza, has a fence around, and the fence is 10 tefachim tall, and the eruv goes above, on top of the fence. Or let's say part of the eruv consists of a pole that's right in the middle of his enclosed area. So that's called a kana terech rishus hayachid. What's the din of a kana terech rishus hayachid? So the Tikkun Erev in the Mishneh Berurah quotes from the Tikkun Erev, and that's the 1.5 pages by the Mesivus at the end of the Mekar Chagim, of the Pesach. So he quotes, a kana terech rishus hayachid is no good. Why? That is based on Silut Mechitza that we spoke about last week. Whenever you have an area that's completely enclosed with a Mechitza, so that whole area is Mesulut Mikan, as if it's ripped off from the whole map, as if it's not here anymore. So if this has a fence around it, so as if this whole area is Mesulut, as if removed from the map, and the map begins over here. So how can you count on a pole that's Terech Rishus HaYofim? So there are those who disagree with that. In some of the Shulach HaVatzelos HaSharon, one of the big Galatian apostles before the Second World War, he writes that his father was always machmer on everything, except for this. He writes his father was always mekel on a Kona Terech Rishus HaYofim. But these are not the same Shalah. A lot of people confuse the two. They don't realize that a Kona Terech Rishus HaYofim is not the same as a Kona Achuri HaKosel. Achuri HaKosel means that it's not contiguous with the area enclosed. Terech Rishus HaYofim is a different thing. Means over there, you can be mekel on this and machmer on this, and you can be machmer on this and mekel on this. They're not identical. There's confusion in the terminology.
If you, the kind of you can fix just by putting a
kana
on each side of the shusayachid, and
then
near there, and then the wall of the
shusayachid
will
also
be on the side too.
Yeah. See, over here, you can put a kana here. That's the solution. But you got to do the solution. Every problem has an easy solution, but you got to do it. The solution is, instead of relying on the kana, put a kana right over here, touching that wall, put another kana here, and then the walls in the front of the front lawn are the rest of the area, right? That is the solution.
So then we have going back to the
drain case,
can you put an
area
on the other side of the
plane
also?
What do you mean on the other side? Might go like this.
Yeah, like that also at the same time.
Yeah.
And because the third wall for that is going to be the
other. I mean, this far side.
Yeah, one half is the far side, and in the other, which is the other area.
I mean, instead of making one connected area, you want to make one area on this side, one area on that
yeah,
side.
Yeah, let's say you want to make one area wider than the other.
Yeah, no problem. So for one, you use the far side of the Pitikra. For this one, you use the far side,
you
use the other side.
You don't say that the Pitikra is self-reflecting.
Yeah. The Pitikra is Terech Rishus HaYachid. That's what to think about. Okay. That's a good question. That's a good question. Could be that it won't be good. That you got to work with.
I don't know.
So here was the Shaila. Here was the Shaila. Why do you say that this is no good? He said that this is a kone. Achuri HaKaisel is no good. So the Shaila, why is it no good? Why call it Achuri HaKaisel? Why don't you say that the Erev goes, we have an Erev over here connecting this. So why don't you say the Erev goes from here to here, 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 and then I'm going to use this and I'm going to ignore all these machines. Why don't you say that the Erev goes here, this wing goes here? That's what Rabbi Haber pointed out last week, that you can't do that. If these, since this is makif the whole area, this whole area is completely mukav, so this is called silik mechitza. So you can't, for the Erev to allow me to carry here, in the middle of all the bungalows, you can't say, I have a tzuris ha-pesach here, and then all of a sudden I use the outside, the side wall of the building, the back wall, and I pick up with a tzuris ha-pesach to go here. And then I continue here. You can't do that. You have to move to the front of the building. Your area that encloses, that is makif, the area in the middle of the bungalow column goes like this, there's a pesach, and then you have to use the front of the building and the side of the building. These are the walls that are contiguous to the area that's enclosed. You can't use this wall. This wall is only makif this area. If you wouldn't have had these walls, or if you wouldn't have had, let's say, even if you have this wall, but it's not kula mukaf, then you can say, my area goes here. But once this is kula mukaf, so this is musulat mikan. It's as if the whole thing is gone. Goodbye. So you have to use the front of the building, the walls that are contiguous to the area. If using the front of the building, then this is going to be achuri akaisel. It's not touching the area enclosed. If there wouldn't have been a din, if there wouldn't have been an issue of siluk mechitza, so you could have said your area for the middle of the bungalow kind of goes like this and like this and like that. Then it picks up with the Tzuris HaPesach and you ignore all of this. You can't say that because of the principle of Siluk Mechitza. Yeah.
Well, this is also what Rabbi mentioned in the past,
that
Nafkamina
have
to the only part of the bungalow that's touching the ground is the back wall. The front one is always by stilts, so then you have to make the air in the forest. You couldn't use the bungalow at all.
Another problem. And it comes up in bungalows and it comes up in hotels and buildings. Sometimes the front of the building doesn't serve as a mechitza. Sometimes the building is constructed in such a way, it's on stilts, you have it, it's on different ground levels, so the front of the building, the front walls of the building, cannot serve as a mechitza for this area inside. So then you want to go to use the back of the building, sure. So my area goes like this and keeps on going like this. Let's say then I want to make a tzuris ha-pesach here and keep up to go here and then to come back over here or something like that. So you can't use the back of the building because the whole building is completely enclosed. This thing is mesulat mikant. It's not silat mechitza. So it's considered that this whole area is here. These walls are no longer contiguous to this area because it's completely enclosed here. So that's the principle of silat mechitza. So if you have such a situation, you can't say that this wall is contiguous to the area. It's mesulat. So if you get stuck over here and you can't go in the front because it's on stilts or something, it doesn't serve the mechitza. So you gotta go, you have to make sure that person can start marching around over here somewhere. To find a different
room.
What?
Why aren't you under the building? And you use the cliff or whatever is the reason that they don't have to
go. If you can, it's good. Matok. Sometimes you can, sometimes you can't.
It's gotta go around somewhere.
19 times out of 20, it won't be a problem. But one time out of 20, will be a problem. It doesn't always end up in the same place. Normally it ends up in the same place, and once out of 20 times, once out of 30 times, not going to end up in the right place. Okay, we got to discuss a little bit Klali Tzuris HaPesach. We discussed a little bit over here. The Tzuris HaPesach, is the frame of the door. We understand what it's based on. The frame of the door has the status of the chutz. Is this a halacha moshe misina? It's not possible. It's usually assumed to be halacha moshe misina. The Mishnah Brura quotes a prima godin who raises a possibility that maybe the whole principle of suras ha-pesach is a make-believe thing with the rabbon. Maybe it doesn't work in that term. If you'll make, in the middle of nowhere, you'll make an area that's mukas only suras ha-pesach. Has no walls at all, just suras ha-pesach. So if you'll carry, let's say, from Rishon Sarab and throw it into this area here, well, you'll be chayiv misa, you'll be chayiv chatasana. So the prima godin is not sure. Maybe the whole Tzuras HaPesach is an invention mid the Rabbanon. Maybe it doesn't work in a Torah. The Pashup Shat, the Chazanish says, how can he say such a suffix? If the Pharisee anymore, there is Mata Biklai. He said, you want to put a Gepen over here, you want to put a Kippen over here. Let's say in Eretz Yisrael, and you're dealing with the real Din Daraisa, Klai, and Kuzma, it's Klai, it's only the Rabbanon. We're dealing with the real Din of Kilayim. The Gemara says, not only if you have a fence, can you plant the Geffen all the way up until the fence and repeat them all the way up to the fence. Even if no fence, you just have it to a pesach, and the Gefanim are laying on top of the chit, and everything is laying on top of each other. It doesn't matter, the halacha considers it as if you have a mechit. So the Chazanish asks, how can the Prima Godin be mesupik? So Gemara in Arabic. How can the people going to be misupik that maybe the whole principle of Tzuras HaPesach is an invention of the Rabbanah? How is it Mata B'Klai? How is it Mata B'Nisa D'Rais B'Klai? So the Achreinim Ma'Miyashiv, the Prima Godim, holds two different Dinim HaMechitza, but the Pashtus, we assume like the Chazanish, that the Tzuras HaPesach is a real Din D'Rais, it wasn't invented in the Rabbanah. That's why the other Prima Godim is also questionable. The Gemara has a requirement for Lechi B'Koro. If you have a mobik that has three walls, I mean the rabbanim, you have to put a tikkun on the roof of this, so you can put a lechi or a korah. So the Gemara says, the lechi or the korah, a guy comes in the middle of Shabbos and he realizes there's a lechi or a korah, that's not good. It has to be some achalim and bodyam. He has to have known about it beforehand, and he's relying on that lechi or korah to be matat tilta. So the Prima Godin raises a possibility, maybe at Tzuras HaPesach, he also needs some achalim and bodyam. So this is, if you hold that Tzuras HaPesach is an invention with the rabbanim just to make a heker, so then, maybe as a svar, you have to have some achal bodyam. But if you assume that it's a real bona fide din d'oraisa, why should you need some achal bodyam? Some mechitza mamash. Mechitza doesn't have to be some achal bodyam. So that's why the Chazanish is not happy with that prima godim. Oh, there's also masik, I think, this far. Sen is masik on that prima godim. The chidush amandig mar. He says, well, he needs some achal bodyam. Tzuras HaPesach is a real bona fide mechitza. Prima godim has another possibility. The din is that the korah is only good if it's shalter be'ein, because it has to be heker. If it's above 20 amos, you can't see. So the Prima Godin raises the possibility, maybe a Tzuras HaPesach, lamayla me'eser mama is no good. A lot of times we make Tzuras HaPesach, lamayla me'eser mama, if you're using electric wires or telephone wires and so on. So we're always mekel on that. We hold that there isn't really a problem. You don't need shalter be'ein. Tzuras HaPesach is a real din mechitza min haTorah. It's not a takanah of the Rabbanan that they invented. But the Tzuras HaPesach, the Gemara has this one sentence formula. What constitutes a Tzuras HaPesach? So the Gemara says, Kana Mikan, Kana Agabein. Two poles and a pole on top, and showing that's it. It sounds like it's very easy, but it's not so easy. So first of all, the Tzuras HaPesach has to be 10 Tfachim tall. Sometimes you have a Tzuras HaPesach that's sagging, so it goes down below 10 Tfachim, so it's no good. We discussed Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank's kula. That if the sig that's below 10 tefachim is only in the middle point over here, and up until here it's above 10 tefachim, and up until here it's weiter above 10 tefachim. So if the gap between here and here is less than 3 tefachim, maybe you can say lavud, and then he thinks that you can say lavud, then it's acceptable. And the Chazanish thought that that's a joke. He said lavud doesn't help over here. Lavud would be good in a korah. The Gemara says if you have a mavui, and you have a korah that goes from the top, from one rooftop to the other rooftop, and it's missing in the middle, the korah is missing, 2.5 tefachim is missing, so you say, lavud, alpidin is considered as if you have a korah. But the Chazanish Tainit, that's my korah, that's an invention of the Rabbanon. So you say, lavud is good, everybody's happy. But he says, that Tzuras HaPesach, the Gemara says, the main klal is, it has to be the way normal people, the way a carpenter, the way a goyish carpenter would make the frame of a door. Lavud is halacha, lavud is not the metzias. The carpenters don't work with lavud. The construction people don't know from lavud. They make a frame of a door, everything is there. So the Chazanish said, you can't even say lavud if the pole doesn't touch the ground. It's not good if the pole is within 3 tefachim to the ground. We spoke about that, and others say not so. So the There is a big machlokes. This comes up halacha lemaisa, and I've seen it in quite a few communities. Sometimes you need a mechitza over here. So you have a mechitza of lovely. Fine. You have poles next to each other, held together, something like that. And the poles are less than 3 tefachim away from each other. So that's considered lovely, 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 lovely. So the whole thing is considered kisosim. What if the poles are 3.5 tefachim apart? There's a gap of 3.5 tefachim in between. So you can't say lovely anymore. So what's the problem? So we'll say tzuras ha-pesach. You have a bar on top that goes in such a way that it constitutes a tzuras ha-pesach. The more I say tzuras ha-pesach min atzad is no good. It has to be konim, mikam, konim, mikam. The top one has to be konim al gabehim. If you put the konim in atzad, you have 2 konim like this, then you tie the string around, it doesn't go al gabehim, so that's no good. The Taz wants to make a kula. He says if it's towards the top of the pole, it's good even min atzad. He makes a diuk, and all the poskim disagree with the Taz. Has to be literally al gabehim mamash. Years ago, that used to be a common mistake. When Balabata made an Erev, they would always tie min atzad because they didn't know. Now there's a much better awareness, so it's not as common a mistake is made. So here's the shayla. Let's say you have the corner on top is in such a way that it's stuck al gabehim. It's not min atzad. But you don't have a gap of 4 tefachim in between the 2 poles that are next to each other. The Gemara makes an equation between the din of tzuras ha-pesach for mezuzah and the din of tzuras ha-pesach for Shabbos. The same din of tzuras ha-pesach. In order to be chayv in mezuzah, you have to have an opening that's 10 tefachim, kana mikam, kana mikam, kana gabem, and you have to have an opening that's a minimum of 4 tefachim wide. I wouldn't be able to fit through, but a skinny baby, a child, would be able to fit through. But if the opening is less, it has to be at least 10 tefachim tall. 10 tefachim is so high, a child can walk through. An adult would find it very difficult. The opening has to be 10 tefachim tall and a minimum of 4 tefachim wide. So what if you only have 3.5 tefachim wide? You're not chayv in mezuzah. That's not called a tzuras ha-pesach. So for Hilcha Shabbos, let's say you have a series of tzuras ha-pesach, one next to the other, and each one is 3.5 tefachim away from the other one. So you can't say lovu because the bottom 3 tefachim apart is no good. Maybe you can't say tzuras ha-pesach either, because it's in order to be called the tzuras ha-pesach, you have to have at least 4 tefachim apart. So maybe I'll say every other one, I'll say dal mehacha. We should ignore this, even though it's there, we should ignore it. So sacha kol have 7 tefachim in between. Then ignore it, either way, have 7 tefachim in between. What do you mean ignore it? But it's there, you can't walk through. So here there's a big machlekes achrenim. The Chavina Rav has a tshuva in David Mishorim, and he quotes Maharil, and he quotes other early achrenim had a machlekes about this. So some said like this: if you have a mechitza, with lavu and with all kinds of tricks, you have a mechitza flimsy, missing a lot of things, al pi halacha, the whole thing is there. And then you start banging in more poles and more poles and more poles, make it more sosim. So the more the merrier, more sosim is better. So here I have every other pole is the tzuras ha-pesach with the pole on top. Then I bang in a pole in between, so what does it bother me? So I made it more sasum. And others say, no, what are you talking about? But you have no tzuras ha-pesach. You just killed the tzuras ha-pesach. You have to go remove every other pole in between. You can say the more poles are, the more sasum it is, so it's better. If you put in a pole in the middle, so you've killed your tzuras ha-pesach. So that is a shayla that comes up every so often. You have a fence that's the gap between each of the 2 bars is more than lovud, but less than dalat tochim. And that serves as a source of Pesach, so that's a big machlokes. The Gemara says in Erev and Daf Yud Aleph, Klal, which ruins most Eruvin in the world, I think, that the source of Pesach is only valid if the Konami Khan is Bria Kedei Lahamed Dela Shalkash. The idea behind the source of Pesach is that it's the frame of a door, so it has to be sturdy enough to hold the door. The Gemara has a machlokes on Daf Yud Aleph, do you need hinges to be attached? So you need hinges on the door. The only thing that's missing is you didn't attach the door. Or do you say, since you could have put hinges on, we never saw an Erev. We never saw an Erev that has any hinges. Because in Shulchan Aruch they make them, and that machlok is Amaroyim and the Gemara, so Shulchan Aruch passes that you don't need hinges. This is one of the issues that was debated between the Mishkan and Yankif and Rabbi Chaim Zalman Margolis. Mishkan and Yankif wants to reverse the Pesach in the Shulchan Aruch. But that for sure, that he wasn't followed. And that point, they didn't. Shulchan Aruch says, Lahakel. The Mukhlif to go be machmir against the Shulchan Aruch. No one followed him on that. But he said it wasn't fair that the Shulchan Aruch wasn't proper, that the Shulchan Aruch said lahakel, because you look in the Rosh and the Rishonim, Rov HaRishonim say lahachmir. That at Tzuras HaPesach is only good if you have the Konim Mikam, and you have the hinges on the Konim. If you don't have the hinges, then it's not a valid Tzuras HaPesach. So that we haven't followed. Nobody follows him. Rabbi Fein Zalman goes, we follow the Shulchan Aruch. But this the Gemara says, and the Shulchan Aruch also says, the poles on either side have to be bria kedei lahamid jealous. The poles have to be sturdy enough, even though you don't need the hinges, we'll make it on the hinges, but the poles have to be at least sturdy enough that you would be able to attach a door to a hinge. Now, this is a very heavy door. So the halacha says it doesn't, the poles don't have to be so sturdy to be able to hold such a heavy door. A delishal kash, a cardboard door, a light door, and the Shulchan Aruch says whatever is an acceptable door in that community. Maybe in China and Taiwan they have very thin doors, but we don't live there. We live in New York. So it has to be a door that in this part of the woods, in this part of the world, they would make such a door.
Would it have to be as high and as wide as the Pesach? Would it have to be, you know, 10 amos long, 10 amos high?
So the Pashtus is that the whole idea of Tzuras HaPesach is, even though the door is not attached, but since it can hold the door, so it's considered as if you had put up a door that extends all the way, and if there would have been a door, there would have been a mechitza. So the pashtus is, the further apart the two kodim are, so the sturdier the kodim have to be. So if they're very near each other, only has to be able to hold the door that goes that distance. If you have kodim that are three blocks apart from each other, so how can you have a door that stretches from here to there? Probably based on physics, it's probably impossible. The further away you have the kodim, so the more sturdy the kodim have to be, they have to be able to hold the door that's going to extend. Doesn't mean a door that goes all the way up to the kol ha'gabeim, or is it enough if it could have held a door that would have been 10 tefachim tall? So there is a machlokes in the Rishonim on that daf. When the Gemara says, Bria kedei l'kabel delos shalkash, kedei l'hamed delos shalkash, what has to be Bria? The kodim ikam, the kodim ikam have to be sturdy. Kedei l'hamed delos, what about the kol ha'gabeim? So the Rosh quotes a Yerushalmi that's quoted l'halach and Shulchan Aruch. The kol ha'gabeim doesn't have to be bria, because the Yerushalmi says even shogemi. That's why we use a string on top. So, and the Meiri quotes that same Yerushalmi, has a different girsa. So when Rav Simcha Zisel from Chevron Yeshiva, what was his name? Brody. Rav Simcha Zisel put out his edition of the Meiri on Erevin. So he writes in his notes in the back, we should really rethink this issue, that everybody makes an error using a string on top. So he raises the issue, but the Miri has the same Yerushalmi with a different girsa, and it says according to his girsa that it's a kavachaimer that the kon al gabem has to be sturdier. So he raises the issue, maybe we should be machmer against the Shulchan Aruch. No one's going to listen to him. Machmer against the Shulchan Aruch, which is like we're looking for kubas again, we're not looking for chumas again. So l'chari, whether the theoretical strength of the poles has to be that it should hold the door that's so tall that goes all the way up to the kon al gabeim, or just sturdy enough to hold the door that will go 10 tefachim tall. L'chari should depend on this. According to the girsa of the Meiri, that the kon al gabeim has to be bria kedei lahamid del shalkash, what do you mean? So it means that they used to bolt in the door on top and bolt in the door on the sides also, like we have. We have the hinges, and then we have something over here, and then we have something on top.
It's just slow down, though. It's just a slow down. Okay. Don't help any person who's on the side. It's just holding the weight.
Okay. But L'chare, according to the Miri Girsa, that the top bar also has to be briyak de lahamid something that it should be able to relate to a door that you would put there. So L'chare, the Pashtus is that the imaginary door, the poles have to be set up to hold the door that would go all the way up on top.
Maybe it means like those sort of eave door things that you should have, like,
I don't think so. No. He's talking about the top bar of the Tzuras HaPesach,
yeah,
serving the purpose. I don't think so. Anyway, but we don't follow that Miri. We're Mekel and Shulchan Aruch that the top bar doesn't have to be Briya Gedela Kabedel Shalkash. So the Maisa, what it means is that the two kodim on the either side are really the Tzuras HaPesach, and the thing on top, many hold there's only midirabbanan. Prima Godim, another person hold, maybe even if it's their eyes, it's just that it should have the Tzuras HaPesach. But it doesn't, it should look like a frame of a door, but it's not really the essential part. So I can understand why one would be makel that the door, the theoretical door that you want the two poles to be certain enough to hold, doesn't have to be so tall that it reaches all the way up to the pole on top. But it has to be, the poles have to be certain enough to hold the door. It goes from one pole to the other. Or at least each pole should be sturdy enough to hold the door, it'll go halfway. Sometimes you have an area that you have two swinging doors. One door covers half the distance, one door covers half the distance. Such like that.
But also, would one of the poles, because it's only attached to one of the poles, do you make the other pole weak, decide which pole
theoretical door hanging on it?
Good question. I'm not sure. In Shulchan Aruch, they don't distinguish. I don't know. Maybe there should be room to distinguish.
Awesome.
Okay. Yeah.
In terms of Del Shel Kash, that was a standard door that they had then? Or how do we know? Maybe it might just be Makel. That's the lightest door. So the lightest possible door. Doesn't mean that that's a normal door that they had.
I think in the Mechaber and Shulchan Aruch, or the Mishnah Berurah quotes, they all say that it has to be Bosa Medina. Whatever is an acceptable door in that area of the world. If they're not part of the world, they never use this kind of a door, because then it's not good. It doesn't have to be such a sturdy door. We have in our area lighter doors than such a heavy door. But if it's like a door in Taiwan, then it wouldn't be good. We don't have those kind of doors here.
Well, you mentioned in the past the possibility of it only going halfway because of the prevalence of double doors. Maybe
doesn't have to go. Right, someone mentioned that. If each one is sturdy enough to hold the door, they'll go half the way, maybe it's also good.
And also that if you're banging a piece of wood into a telephone pole, that even though the algaba was going to be algaba on the piece of wood, not on the telephone pole, but that you could be mitzarei the telephone pole to give the strength,
yeah. Let's say when we have a tall telephone pole, but the wire is minatsad, it's not algaba, so you can't use that. So you have to bang in another pole that touches the ground, that's next to this telephone pole. So does that pole that I attach to the telephone pole or to a tree, that pole has to be Bria Kdela Kabel Del Shel Kash that goes all the way halfway down the block? Or do you say, no, that pole with Siruf, the big fat tree, together could hold the Del Shel Kash? So the Pashto says, but make a lot of that. Doesn't have to be able to hold the Del Shel Kash on its own. If because it's tied onto the tree, it can hold the Del Shel Kash, it's also good. That's called Bria Kdela Hamad Del Shel Kash. Okay, we will continue next week. Okay.